Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to PGN. This is Deborah with you this evening, and it is May 18th. Good to have you. I'm glad that you're here with us this evening. Thank you, callers who are dialed in for ministry. Praise the Lord, and we're going to go to His Word and by His Spirit and dial in to the Spirit of God and His Word as prior to ministering to you. And thank you for those who are joining us in live streaming this evening. And then also if you're listening at a later time as well, we welcome you and I hope that you stay and join us again. The dial-in number, if you are listening and would like ministry, you dial in at 319-527-6027, and then you just press 1 on your keypad, and that will put you in queue for ministry. You'll be in the lineup. So praise the Lord. Again, thank you for being here, and let's just pray before we open up and dedicate this evening to the Lord and to the Spirit of God. So, Father, we thank you for your Spirit is living, that you bring life, God, and wholeness, God, and assurance, Lord, sufficiency, satisfaction as the bread of life, Lord, that you satisfy like no other, God, that you can settle our soul and our spirit, Lord, and even our physical bodies, Lord, with the bread of life, God. May we partake this evening. God, may you send forth your light. May you send forth your revelation, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that we would be partakers of your word, Lord, that you would, Lord, we ask that your word would open to us, Lord, all spiritual wisdom and understanding, God, that we might have increase and equipping in our own lives, Father God, that in itself, Lord, we could offer to others, Lord, as well. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray for our neighbors right now, God, that you would touch them, Lord, that you would establish them into your kingdom, that you begin doing a work in their heart, Lord, that they would be drawn even by the light, Father God. We ask that you would anoint our words and our speech and even our mind, Lord, as we interact with those who are perishing, but those who need to be renewed. God, those who need the assurance of Christ in their lives, Lord, that would come forth, God, that would come forth, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Tonight I want to talk about, I have been pondering a couple of things, and I just wrote some notes out real quick, so we're just going to see how the Holy Spirit leads, but it is on assurance. I did want to talk about assurance, mainly I'm going to stay on our assurance of our salvation, because if this is either for you or someone you know, who may need encouragement or have really battled with a lot of doubts over this past year and a half, and or also for a family member, because this gives assurance to me as well. I know my dad, my earthly father, did not really proclaim his faith with his own words, right? And he believed in his heart, but he didn't confess with his mouth until he was literally on his deathbed. And, I was praying that the Lord would give evidence of his salvation, and he did. So this could make, again, this is either for yourself or someone you know or a loved one. But the assurance, we're talking about assurance. It says, whoever has God's Son has life. I have written this to you who believe in the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. So the Lord wants us to know. It is written, okay? He wants us to know, and it's also written so that we might know. So he wants us to know that we have eternal life. So if God said it in his word and we believe it in our heart, then that needs to be settled in our minds as well, because God can fulfill his promises. And if he says that we will never perish and have eternal life, then we are safe in God's hands. And he even will send his angels to make sure that we are delivered safely, because we have to go through this, this heaven, this worldly heaven, the second heaven, up to the third heaven. And we need to be delivered safely and to the kingdom of God. So in assurance. Let me just read this here. That verse that I just read was in 1 John 5:12, but prior to that it says, whoever believes that Jesus, and I'm just going to read from the New King James Version and all of my versions this evening, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. But this we know, that we love the children God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome, right? His yoke is easy. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Oh my goodness. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. The victory that overcomes the world is literally, there's a little asterisk there with a note that later says, your faith. The victory that's going to overcome the world is your faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And this, who he came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit, so check this out, this is so powerful, it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. And there are three that bear witness in heaven. Okay, there's a unity and the witness in heaven, right? The Father, this is in heaven, the three that bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God in which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and his life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. These things I have written to you, as we started, to believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. And so there we go. That's where our assurance lies, and continuing to believe in our faith, having a faith that's going to overcome the world. And if there is something shaking or doubts or unbelief, even in your, and the enemy uses all types of, all sorts and types of tactics, especially for a new believer and who's coming into the kingdom, of their assurance of their faith in Christ, okay? Because some people may say they listen to other people's testimonies, and then they compare, and then they doubt, then they begin to doubt, well, I didn't have any of these fantastic, awesome things happening in my life, you know? And but yet they have a testimony, and they need to build on that and grab a hold of that and share it, because other people will, it will witness to others as well. So the word assurance, when we break this down, and there's three particular verses, 1 Thessalonians 1:5, Colossians 2:2, and Hebrews 10:22. And this word assurance and these three verses are all mean the same thing, which they basically mainly all do, but this one is very specific to it. So it says, the word assurance there means entire confidence. Entire confidence. I love the Greek, because they put together words that are like, they seem like, not necessarily an oxymoron, because these are not negative. They're like a double positive, not a double negative, but entire confidence, full assurance. Okay, so there's nothing there. There's nothing there. There's no room for doubt. There's no room for unbelief, you know, or confusion or murkiness, okay? Christ is clear what he did and who he is. So even the Webster's Dictionary says, and the Webster's, it says, what does it mean to give assurance? Okay, because Christ is giving us assurance, even in his word and even in his promises. It says, if you give someone an assurance that something is true or will happen, and you say that is true and will happen, and so that it definitely will happen, and that is exactly what Christ has done in his word and what he offers. Okay, so let me just read a couple of verses here. I have Acts 17:30, and I'm just stating them for those who like to take notes or who like to go back and give reference. And it says, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. Speaking of Jesus, right? He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. So the very man who... Jesus, you know, it's called, that's who's calling the man. That very man, Jesus, came in righteousness, and righteousness in itself is going to judge the world. And the assurance of this, he's saying, even the assurance of this man is far beyond any other man you will ever know, see, or experience, or undergo as kingship, lordship, or God. And he was raised from the dead. The assurance is in him raising him from the dead. Okay, so keep that in mind. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, for our gospel did not come to you in word only. Okay, it's not word only, but it's also in power. The New King James, come on. And the Holy Spirit and much assurance, as you know, what kind of men were among you for your sake. Okay, so in which he came, basically is what he's saying. Colossians 2:2, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, speaking of you and I, and God's, the Christian, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both to the Father and of Christ. So there's no mistaking it. It's continually intertwined with the Father and the Son, and the Son is Christ, and the Son is God. Okay, it's always intertwined, intertwined, intertwined. Isaiah 32:17, and this particular assurance, and this particular word, this particular promise, the work of righteousness will be peace, right? The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Just release your word again, God, that the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. We thank you, Father God. We are not intimidated by what we see, Lord. We have hope. We have faith, God, and it shall overcome, and it shall be done according to your word, Lord, in Jesus' name. Okay, and the effects of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. That was Isaiah 32:17. It just inserted a prayer in the middle of that. Hebrews 10:22, which you may be all familiar with this, and I may have spoke about this before, and this is even what we're doing right now, this evening, you know, it seems like 24/7 with PGN, is let us draw near with a true heart. Okay, our heart needs to be true before the Lord, because he knows, and even a willingness, even if we don't know, like, hey, Lord, I don't even know what's hindering, you know, me. I don't even know there's a, you know, maybe a warfare of weariness going on. I don't even have the verbiage for it, the understanding for it, but there's something, you know, there's something going on, you know, in Jesus' name, Lord, I just want to take authority, teach me, show me. As long as you're seeking him and you're being true and sincere before him, and the full assurance of faith. So that means there's no room. You're coming to him in faith. Just like, and if you can remember the day that you received your salvation, the day that you received your salvation, and that's how you come to him in prayer, with the same faith that you received him, and the exchange happened, and you completely trusted him, you completely let go of your own doing, knowing within yourself you couldn't accomplish what needed to be accomplished, and even sustaining here on earth, or sufficient, even anything in and of ourselves is not even sufficient in what we can offer this side of heaven. With that same faith That same assurance, which means entire confidence, full assurance, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So that's Hebrews 10, 22, which we love Hebrews. I know y'all love Hebrews too. Okay. So now this brings us over to my second thought here, was I was thinking of the assurance. I was thinking of assurance and bringing that forth that we would have that. And then my dad, as a testimony, he was very ill, you know, having some heart failure. And my dad was actually born with a birth defect. He had a club foot. He had a kidney. His kidney was actually one kidney, but they didn't find out this until he was like well into his 50s. And by that time they thought, well, you know, let's just leave it. He's doing well the way it is. Well, his kidney was one horseshoe shape. So instead of two kidneys, it was one. And I'm not sure if this horseshoe shape equaled the size of two kidneys. I don't recall that. But he had some things like that. And then he was a heavy smoker for a long time, as long as I knew him, until the very end where he got emphysema. And then that started happening. You know, then it started to take a turn there. And then he also was a very heavy drinker as well. It's just like his lifestyle and way that he was raised and the way that he grew up and the way that he functioned. So at the end of his time, he actually fell in the house, which is uncommon for elderly people, and he broke his hip or fractured his hip, and he had to have surgery. And he was only in his mid-70s. And this particular hospital, which is it was in Michigan up north, there's a lot of Catholic hospitals. I don't know if they have them where you live, but they do like St. Mary's, St. something hospital. And so on the wall at the hospital in his room was a crucifixion on the wall. He had the operation. He underwent the operation. He came out. He seemed to be doing well. And almost, you know, we were all very concerned, of course, how that was going to go. And then he seemed to have like a little bit of a burst of energy one day. And this seems to be a common theme with people. If you've ever walked through someone who is, well, they seem to have this burst of energy, but it's really like it's somewhat as a gift of what needs to be shared, what needs to be spoken, you know, amongst, you know, the family, whoever, loved ones. Anyways, so at the crucifixion, so then the next day, then it took a turn, like he started to spiral down, but he was looking at the crucifixion. And one of the statements that he made was that if Jesus could endure the pain, if Jesus could have endured all that pain for me on the cross, I can endure this. And as long as I keep my eyes on him, I can endure this and I can make it through. Oh, wow. I can't believe I'm even sharing this. And he did not. He did not. He ended up, you know, I want to say ironically, but I don't know, but he ended up, his lungs ended up filling with fluid. And so he, and that's how he passed. And so, so he couldn't breathe. He couldn't take a breath. And this, which is somewhat parallel and similar to Christ and how Christ passed. And so that was the confession of his mouth. He believed in his heart and he confessed with his mouth that Jesus, you know, that Jesus was Lord and what he did on the cross for him. And that was enough for him for his salvation. That, to me, that gave the assurance out of his own testimony and out of his own mouth that he was born again and that he received Jesus. And so what brings me to the parallel point to this in scripture as far as assurance is the thieves on the cross, right? So I'm going to read from Luke 23, 33 through 43, but we know it's also in John and it's also in Matthew and in Mark where it talks about the two robbers were crucified with him, right? One on the right and one on the left. And then there's a conversation that happens. But in the book of Mark, it indicates, Mark 15, it indicates a prophecy that came forth back in Isaiah 53. 53:12, and the prophecy that came forth says this: "Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he was poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore a sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors, I'm sorry. So Matthew 15, this is the verse that says in 15 that parallels the prophecy, indicating that this is the prophecy that was fulfilled in Isaiah 53. With him, they also crucified two robbers, one on his right and the other on his left. So the scripture was fulfilled, which says he was numbered with the transgressors, okay? And 32, it says, "Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross that we may see and believe," okay? Even though all the while Jesus was on the cross being crucified and people reviling him. I mean, they were abusive. They were criticizing, you know, insulting him right there as he was on the cross. Could you imagine in the midst of, in the midst of it, and then he prayed for the people, you know, "Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he was very focused. He was very focused. I mean, it's really remarkable, you know, and at this point of being, you know, excruciating, you know, that his heart and his mind was so focused. But he won that focus really, you know, literally without going all the way back, but he won the focus in the garden, at the Garden of Gethsemane, when he received the cup and he understood his time has came. So that's where he received the focus. And which was the joy set before him, which is you. You are his joy. And those that he's calling and wanting to add to his kingdom, he has much more joy. May he receive, the reward of his suffering, right? May he receive it with the fullness of joy. And as we bring others into the kingdom, we share and invite others, even if we're planting those seeds, right? Some plant, some water, he brings the increase. Okay, so now I'm in Luke 23, verse 33. 33 is where I'm going to start. Okay, and then, well, let me just start at 32. There were also two others, okay, so the criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. And then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots, and the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself. And he, if he is the Christ, he's the chosen of God." And the soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." And the inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. "This is the King of the Jews." That's what was written. Then, verse 39, then one of the criminals who hung blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself." Could you imagine? But the other, now listen, the other who died right there and was a criminal, where did his faith come from? This is so remarkable that he would call. It's really a miracle and remarkable that he would call out to God in this hour, even when it wasn't, you know, the crowd was not, you know, they were reviling him and mocking and you know, it wasn't commonly understood what was happening. But yet this man that hung on the cross next to him said, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, so he's talking to the other criminal, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justified, for we received the due reward of our deeds." So knowing he was a criminal even himself, but this man, Jesus, has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Remember me. Isn't that beautiful that he would ask him to remember me? And even Jesus, when we partake of communion, he says, do this in remembrance of me. To remember each other, do this in remembrance of me. And Jesus said to him, verse 43, friends, Jesus said to him, this man, assuredly, this really is, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. As soon as the Lord, you know, as soon as we believe in faith and confess with our mouth, the assurance is released on the word of God. And he spoke it to this man in his hour when he was on his deathbed, if you will, or his last moment, his last time. So let's not do away with the timing of the Lord, because the assurance is there. The Lord said, assuredly, assuredly, I say to you, you will be with me in paradise. And lastly, you've probably heard me say this before, but, you know, in the Greek, when they wrote in the Greek, pencil, paper, and ink was very expensive. So in the Greek particular language, order was everything. How they put together and how they recorded things, order was everything. So just as Jesus spoke it, it would be important. So when he spoke it and released it and said, first giving the assurance, right? And then saying, you will be with me. It's the restoration of the fellowship with the Father. That's what he wanted from the very beginning, even, you know, with the Israelites, and saying he wanted to speak to them. And they said, no, you know, you speak to Moses, Moses will speak to us, right? He wanted that fellowship and the restoration and humanity. That's why he came for humanity, was to fellowship. To fellowship with us and to dine with him, you know, and to have that interaction and to call him Abba Father. And it's almost as if heaven, or it's almost as if paradise, is the icing on the cake. You know, that's the everlasting. You're restored. We're restored together in fellowship and relationship. And now it'll be everlasting. We can find each other. You know, we can find each other and live with each other. From everlasting to everlasting. So thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for just showing your assurance. Thank you for speaking assuredly unto your word, God. And we ask you, Lord, if those that are still believing for promises, Lord, still believing for loved ones, Lord, and the seeds that have been planted and the words that you've spoken, God, of your promises over them, Lord, let them come to pass, God. Let that you call that seed forth, God. You call forth the identity. You call forth the destiny in that child, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord. Even if they're sleeping, God, that you would call it forth, Lord, according to your word, and by the assurance of your word, let it be released in such a way that they believe, God, that they believe and follow, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Okay, let's open up the phone lines because we have a handful of callers this evening. Make sure we have enough time. So our first caller here is 828-989. Good evening. Who am I speaking to? Where are you calling from?
This is Jennifer from North Carolina.
How are you?
Hey, I'm good. It's been a while.
Yeah,
good
to hear your voice. And okay, hold on one second. I'm just writing, make sure I get all the colors in order. Okay, I think I got it. So thank you, Father, for Jennifer, Lord. I thank you, Father, Lord, for knowing her, Lord, for instructing her, God, even leading her in her steps and in her path unto you, Father, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, I just see, when I said the word steps, I see you taking steps up, and there is a, there are the Psalms of Ascent, if you will. So they're kind of like in the middle of the Bible, but literally they are, these Psalms of Ascent are these steps that lead up to the courts and to the outer courts and to going into the fullness of, you know, into the fullness of courts, right? So we enter his courts with praise and his gates with thanksgiving, you know, and beginning to enter in. And so, but there's a stepping up that takes place, you know, and it wasn't common in those days for women to be partakers and for women to interact within these courts and within these places. But yet, you know, we are called, Jennifer, to step up and to take our rightful place. And you know, I also see a stepping of you moving forward. It's a stepping of you moving forward. Even Elijah, you know, the God prepared him, and it was a pretty wild way that he prepared him, you know, and in the wilderness, and the Lord feeding him, and he was alone, and the things that he sustained. And then it said he called him forth, because when it was time, he called him forth, and Elijah stepped forward. He moved forward. He stepped forward. So I see that kind of taking place, the stepping forth, and it is really out of obedience. It's out of a humble heart and a yielding heart and a heart that says yes to the Lord, yes to the Lord. And so I thank you, Father, that you would just release that, Lord, this stepping up and this stepping forward for her, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that you would ordain her steps as well, Lord, that she would follow you and the function and the design in which you have in your kingdom, Lord, and even hearing you intimately and personally, God, in your courts, Lord. And that we don't forget, Lord, as Christians, Lord, your word does have order, like that we enter your courts with praise and your gates with thanksgiving, God, and we come into the Holy of Holies, Lord. And so we thank you, Lord, for the invitation, Lord, but also the order, God, and what we offer to you, because, look, I mean, we receive all that you chose to do for us, God, but with humble hearts, because of what you've did, God, but we receive it and we come, Lord, stepping and moving forward with boldness, but with humble hearts, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That spoke to me, and it was a word that was much needed for a time as this. So, praise God.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. And just remember, too, that obedience, even if you're just doing it fearful and you don't know, obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience. Mm. So when he's calling and he's saying, obey. Even if it feels like whatever, you know, just obey.
Wow. I'm glad I called. Because that's something that I needed to hear. I feel like I've been going through this, you know, dark night of the soul. I actually started with a dream where I saw myself going up, ascending, and I've questioned it, like, is that from you, Lord? And he asked me to do something, and not anything that's difficult, not anything that I haven't done before, but for some reason I am struggling so hard, and I don't understand why. At all, because it's something that I've done multiple times. But for some reason, I'm just like stuck and struggling, and I just feel like I'm failing, and like, Lord, is it too late? And I've just been really having a hard time. So this word just really encouraged me very much.
Yes. Well, thank you. I'm so glad you called, and I'm so glad the Spirit of the Lord, there's a place for the Spirit of the Lord to move, you know, towards his sons and his daughters, you know, in the kingdom, to build what it is he's building in you, and to move in faith and to move in obedience, you know. And I would encourage you, too, to go back and read 1 John 5, because that's even titled at the beginning of that, it's titled Obedience by Faith.
Okay.
Yeah, and so, I mean, you can read it in different versions if you want to. And then also I don't know, the Psalms of Ascent are, I don't remember I don't remember how many there are right there in the middle, because I want to say like 115, something around there. But I know that Beth Moore wrote a Bible study on the Psalms of Ascent. And so you might be able to just Google what are the Psalms of Ascent, and it'll tell you which psalms are in there. Yeah.
Wow. Well, okay. Thank you. I will do
that. Yes, God bless you. And we are believing the Lord for you. And we just break off anything, any lie, any type of weariness, you know, cloudiness, hindrance in Jesus' name, or that she would just move forth because your word spoke it, because you spoke it, God. And apparently, God, really, honestly, oh my gosh, you're giving the assurance to her this evening and what you already spoken to her, what you've already showed her, God, and that now this is a track and he's getting you on track and the assurance of that track for your life in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Yeah. Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Amen. Thank you. God be
the
glory.
God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, bye. Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, caller 920-279. Good evening. Who's joining
Hi,
us
Deborah.
This evening?
Hi, Deborah.
Anne?
From,
Anne from Wisconsin. How are you doing?
Oh, I kind of feel like that last caller in the what she said about her soul being in the dark or whatever she said. I thought, oh, I feel like that too. So.
Oh, yeah. You know, I was listening to a teaching, a prayer teaching, I guess. I think it was, I don't know, participation they were praying to. But anyway, she was talking about part of the warfare of the enemy is weariness. Mm. And it made a lot of sense to me. And it made a lot of, because I had a friend who just went to a conference, but she was saying she just feels like in some ways she feels dry, but she said, but when I pray for my friends or someone asks me to pray and I pray for them, like they tell her it's anointed and it's, you know, and she just happened to, we actually crossed paths at church and I asked her to pray about something and she just spoke a word really quick. And I said, well, even what you spoke to me was definitely anointed, you know? And so she was saying, like, it feels like, she was saying, it feels like it's a lie, but I still kind of feel this way, you know? And so it is, you know, because I was thinking about that. What in the world is that? Because I know that it's existing right now, but I don't have words or framing for it. But when I heard that prayer teaching or however that was, and she talked about the weariness, the warfare of weariness, I thought, I think that, I mean, that described it to me as best that I knew how, that it was the enemy's plan, you know. But anyways, yes, we need to shake that off and to move forward and regain our focus, you know, and get our focus back on the Lord and moving forward. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for Anne, God. I thank you for what you're doing, Lord, in her life, Father, in Jesus' name. So I see a, this is odd, but I'm just going to say what I see. I see a saturation coming, and it's like your feet are on these metal things that have, like, holes in it. So then you're, like, going deeper. The Lord is taking you deeper and saturating your feet. And then, you know, when he lifts you up, it's like then the water is being strained off, kind of, you know, so that your feet are being saturated. And I'm not sure what that is. So I know that our feet represent peace and the and our what am I trying to say from Ephesians? I know I hear everyone yelling at me. No, I'm not yelling, but saying the answer. In our armor, our feet are peace. So what was this here that I was reading about? And there are three that bear witness on earth. The spirit, the water, and the blood. I would look into that a little bit more because there's something with the water. It's like you're being led by the Spirit of the Lord, like the Spirit of God is doing it. It's like saturating you and then lifting you up, you know, and there's something about the water there and on your feet. It's very, I've never really seen anything like that before, but I'm just trusting the Lord, Father. I thank you, Lord, for that, Father. I thank you, you know, because when he does the work, he does a good work. He does a good work, Father. So we thank you, Lord. You know, and maybe he's just purifying your steps and purifying your way and preparing you. You know, it could be a way of preparation. You know, when the disciples, when the disciples met and they washed each other's feet, you know, and they, it was very much servanthood. I see that being connected to it. Even when I say it, I sense the Spirit of God on that. There's servanthood connected to it. So, so thank you, you know, and even washing off there, so it washed off the things of the road, the things in the dust and the things that would connect to them as they traveled, you know, that's part of it too, I think, you know, just that washing away of the things that are unnecessary and that get connected to us as we travel, as we go about our journey. And, you know, and then even this servanthood, you belong to him, you know, you are his servant. And he is washing and preparing you and, you know, really a preparation for servanthood unto him. So we thank you, Father, for what you're doing, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, God, that you order her steps and order her path, Lord, according to your righteousness, Lord. And even your word, Lord, that you, you know, pray. When I pray with my intercessor friend, we always pray that the Lord would tether our steps to the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And that's literally what he does. He does it for his name's sake. You belong to him, and then you become a testimony to other people. You know, become a testimony to other people. And I think I see what the enemy is doing, too, in this weariness thing. It just came to me now, too, is that there's a sense of we are equipped, but we've almost lost our equipping, if you will, and how to minister and how to move about and how to, including myself, you know, and but regaining this focus and regaining our equipping and even seeking the Lord for the revelation on equipping us and how to move forward, equipping us with what he's prepared us to do and how he's prepared us even along the way, like what he's doing, because he's certainly never left us and never forsaken us. And he's made us a distinguished people. And each of us could probably think, and I know I need to go, I wish I had more time, but all of us could probably think back and ponder a little bit before the Lord and even ask him what he had done in our lives and continuing to do currently, through even this pandemic, where our lives became distinguished, that only he, it was only the mark of his redemption, only the mark of his guidance, you know, where we really see it in him of that he, because we are distinguished people because we carry his word and we carry his power, you know, so he makes us distinguished so that we can be a testimony to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. God bless you, Anne. Thanks for joining us. Yeah, God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay. Computer runs a little slow sometimes. Okay, our next caller is 903-918. Good evening. This is Deborah. Yep. Who am I speaking to? Where are you calling from?
Good evening. This is Michelle from Texas.
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
I'm finding you.
Good. Okay, hold on 1 second. I just want to make sure. Okay, I had a number down, and then I might have just jumped off. Okay, so we're all on board. Okay, so thank you, Lord. For Michelle, Father, I thank you for what you're doing, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, there's something with language, and I'm not sure if it's how he's speaking or how he's teaching. Something with a language, and Lord, I don't know what specifically that is, Father. I thank you, Lord. Excuse me. I see. I see it. I'm seeing it. Excuse me. As a written language, a written expression, a written emphasis on a particular language, maybe. And I don't know if it's teaching, on an emphasis of a particular language, God. I'm not sure what the emphasis is. Like, I feel like I almost had it at the beginning, and then it just kind of slipped. And I don't know if it's something because the Holy Spirit did that for me to recognize it as a language, but not wanting me to speak forth what I thought it was, or under the assumption of what I thought it was, other than that he wanting me to release that it was a language. So I thank you, Father. Lord, I just thank you for this expression, God, this emphasis, God, this accent. No, 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 it's not accent. This emphasis and expression on language, God. So it's not in its entirety. It's just a sort of like an emphasis on something. Like sometimes when I'm speaking to the Lord, because he's my heavenly Father, sometimes I'll call him Abba. And like a lot of people have different names as they call him Father. And like Papa, so, you know, people just say different things. Oh, no, I call him this, like, and they're like, no, like, this is more special. But we all have our own expression of how we, so that's like an emphasis on how I call him, because that's just my affectionate, but yet it's, Abba is a Hebrew word. It's a different language, you know. So I don't know if it's that type of thing, but I see like a teaching and an emphasis on something with language. So I'm not sure. Does that seem to resonate with you in some way?
No, like, I just kept it seeing like prayer language, like when you pray in tongues.
Okay, so maybe, is that new to you, or is that something you've been doing as of late, or?
There's something he's been speaking to me about doing more of.
Oh, okay, so then I think you're right. I think you're exactly right. Because, yes, I think that is exactly it, because there's an emphasis on a language, and that was like a teaching thing. A teaching thing did resonate in my spirit when I was saying that. So there is something that he wants to teach you then about praying in the spirit, you know. Yes, he's going to use that. And so we pray, God, we pray as saints for our sister Michelle, God, that her prayers would be effective, even praying in the spirit, God. Lord, when she's unctioned, when she's burdened, when she's just releasing something and even decreeing something in the spirit, God, coming into agreement with the spirit of the Lord that's upon her as she releases this emphasis of her language unto you, God. We pray, God, that you would ignite her and unite her, God, to the fire of God in her life, God. And I thank you, Lord, that she would even speak in tongues of fire, God. And thank you for what you're teaching her and what you're teaching her in that, God. And may it increase. May it increase in her life, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Yeah, praise God. I just encourage you to just begin doing that, just stepping forth in faith. Forget, you know, what your mind is telling you, whatever, you know, just take the act of obedience and just say, even if you just need to say the sentence. You know, when I started just cultivating things with the Holy Spirit, when I would hear his voice, I would say, okay, Lord, I'm not sure this is you. I think it is, but I'm going to step out. I'm going to put some faith to this and some action to it, and you meet me and you teach me and you show me, you know. And then lo and behold, you know, like the oil of heaven comes on that, you know. Because it's like, here's my willingness. My willingness is to be obedient, and now I'm going to take an act in it, basically is what I was saying, you know.
Yes, yes. And he's been, yeah. That does bear witness with me when you said the language is, that just came to me, you know, about the prayer language.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Good to hear your voice and connect with you for a few minutes. Thank you for joining us. Okay, bless you.
Yes, I'm glad I got on tonight.
Yeah, me too. I'm very glad. Thank you so much. Okay, take care.
Thank you. You too. Good night.
Thank you. Good night. Thank you so much. Okay, our next caller is 954-580. Good evening. Who am I speaking to?
Hi, Deborah. This is Carolyn.
Hi, Carolyn. How are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you.
Okay.
How are you?
Jamaica, right? Good. I'm feeling pretty good. Yes. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for Carolyn. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Father. Lord, we just bring her unto your altar, Lord, and bring her under your care, God, and under your wing, Lord. I thank you, Father God, for her abiding in you, God, and under the shelter of your wing, Father, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord. I just see the Lord like, you know, you're like, you're very close to him under the shelter of his wing, like very close, tucked in there closely, you know, and close to his body under his wing, you know, so he could quickly put his wing down and quickly shelter you, you know. And I mean, not hovering or just, you know, like hanging out under his wing like an umbrella. It's very close knit unto his care, under his protection. You know, and under his grasp where he can quickly preserve you and protect you. So we thank you for that, God, and in Jesus' name. And actually, I'm just reminded about something. Oh, wait, let me go here. The latter part of Psalm 91 is coming to mind, where it says, this, well, I'll just read 14, 15, and 16. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Okay, verse 15. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So that is the latter part, you know, of under the presence and dwelling with the Holy Spirit. So I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you would just make that supply for your daughter of God. As she calls upon you, you would answer her, God. And any time of trouble, God, even if it be her own offspring or her loved ones, God, that you would deliver her and honor her, God, and even those that she prays for, Lord, in Jesus' name. And with long life, Lord, that you would satisfy Caroline, Father God, and show her your salvation. And, I mean, I can't talk about it all right now because I don't have enough time, but the salvation of the Lord is very encompassing unto us and what it covers and all that it entails for us, you know, because he talks about even us being sanctified and, you know, picking up our cross daily and walking out, you know, our salvation. And it's not by works, but we are co-laborers with him. And you know, there is an effort, an expression of our love in which we offer to him. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for Caroline, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that you yourself, God, even in your protection and in your care and in your shelter, God, that you would make her distinguished. Even in that, God, it would be very distinguishing to other people, Lord, and to those around her, Lord, just your care and your protection, Lord, and your shelter for her, God, in Jesus' name, Lord. And I pray that she would even grow deeper in her fellowship with you, God, deeper in the fellowship with your word, Lord, and even reading your word, Lord, that it would come to life as if it's you speaking right before her, Father God, and just that. And Colossians, where it talks about having spiritual wisdom and understanding. God, I just pray that it would come forth. The words of the Lord in scripture would come forth to her. God, the things that you're speaking to her would speak life to her. She would gain the spiritual wisdom and gain spiritual understanding, literally as if it's you speaking to her, Father God. And I thank you, Lord, that there would be no separation and distinction in her mind between the living word and Jesus. For you are the word. The word is Jesus, and the word was made alive, God. And I thank you, Lord, that that would grow. Those two things would become closer and closer and closer. Jesus and the living word, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. God bless you. Thank
you
for that word. Amen.
Amen. Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us. It's good to hear you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Well, God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you. Everybody is so sweet here, really. I just really appreciate everyone comes in faith. And there really is something to that, you know, because everyone brings their own faith to PGN, and it just adds so much to the body of Christ and to, really, I think of it as, you know, church. I want to say church, but it is the church at large. Okay, 315-254. Good evening. Who am I speaking to?
Aunt Talith. How are you?
Good. How are you? Say your name one more time.
Aunt Talith.
Aunt Talith. Okay. I know we spoke last week, right?
We did.
Yes. And tell me, remind me where you're from again.
I just relocated to Orlando, Florida.
Okay, yes. Yes, okay. I think I was praying for you this week. I think the people who were on last week, the Lord is having me pray for you guys last week during this week, like as it comes to mind. And I will say, because I've been having this thing where I'm not sleeping as well. Well, I'm not sleeping. How do I say it? Because I don't want to be like, I guess I'm hesitating to saying how I want to express this, because I know the Holy Spirit's listening to me, and I don't want it to be like, hey, I don't want the Holy Spirit bothering me or interrupting my sleep pattern, you know. But I've been having this thing where I wake up, and sometimes I'm awake from, and it's been about 2:30, you know, Eastern time here, and sometimes I'm up for hours, literally. I'm in bed, and then I'll just pray, and I lay very still, and I'm like at rest in some ways, but I'm just praying everything that I thought to pray or that the Lord brings to remembrance. Or sometimes I'll just ask him, okay, what do you want me to pray for? And I'll just go through my list in my head. I'm with him. But I do, you know, now that I hear your voice and remember that you said Orlando, I do remember praying for you and some of the others, okay, that I prayed for last week. Okay, so thank you, Lord. For Aunt Elise, God, in Jesus' name, I thank you, God, for opening doors for her. Lord, we thank you, Father, we just decree, God, we decree the word of light before her, Father God, and your promises, Lord, that you've given her, God, let them be the decree to her, Lord, that lights her path and lights her way, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for your sovereignty. We thank you, Lord, for your, you know, that you speak forth your word, Lord, even the assurance that you've given your word in John 17, Lord, that my sheep know my voice. Oh, my God, I put my glasses on. And I know them, God, that you know her. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me, God, and she's given evidence to that, Father God. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And my Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. So praise the Lord. So I thank you, Lord, just for these rivers of living water to continue to flow through her, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that even when she's at rest, Lord, when she's at rest, bubble up within inside of her, Lord, they bubble up truth, they bubble up wisdom, God, they bubble up your guidance, and they bubble up your counsel to her, God, that she would capture them, Lord. She wouldn't just think it's the end of the day, you know, I'm just recounting things. It's, you know, my subconscious. I think, Lord, she wouldn't mistake it other than the Spirit of God at rest, offering guidance and offering counsel to her, even while she is on her bed. You know, I think it's Psalm 16. I don't know if this is correct or not, but this is coming to mind. It is Psalm 16. Well, all of it's good. You can read all of Psalm 16. I'll start at verse 7. I will bless the Lord who's given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. That's exactly right. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. Flesh will also rest in hope. And that was verse 9. But, you know, and then verse 11 says, you will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So that's what I see for you, is the Lord speaking to you, and like a night counsel type of thing, bubbling up again, his wisdom, his counsel, his guidance to you. Try not to miss that. Try to jot it down. I know sometimes when the Lord speaks to me in wisdom, I think, oh, that's so wise, I'm not going to forget that. This is like, it's very present and it's very real and it makes perfect sense. And there's so much, like, I can even just feel the wisdom. And sometimes I do. If I don't capture it, I have to remember to capture it, and that there's something to that. You know, like I have to steward it, if you will. I have to really steward it. So sometimes I just have to write it down, you know, either on my phone or send myself a voice memo, whatever it might be, but really capture it, you know. In the middle of the night, then, you know, like I learned that, I haven't done this in a while, but the Lord had me for a season get a notebook and put it next to my bed with a pen, and to really just be, to steward it whenever he released it, to steward whatever word it was, you know.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yes. So thank you. I hope things are going well for you.
Thank you. I called in tonight. I was a little, feeling a little off. But I appreciate you tonight.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate the Spirit of the Lord showing up and encouraging, you know, his people, because that is one thing that I prayed the Lord would do. And he knows what, you know, every caller and every listener needs, and the Lord would fulfill that, where there needs to be encouragement, hope, instruction, you know, that he would speak and he would lead. And you know, he loves his people and he has great compassion for them. And you know, he's a father who cares, and he wants to do good things and provide and make provision for us. You know, and he sees us more ready than we probably see ourselves, you know.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, and God bless you. Have a good night.
Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Okay, take care. Okay, friends, we're off to 910-709. Good evening. This is Deborah. Who am I speaking to?
This is Sylvia from North Carolina.
Hey, Sylvia, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good. Sometimes, I think sometimes I get your number and Anne's number a little bit, one or the other. Yeah, not sure why. So, there is some similar number crossovers there, but anyways, good to have you. joining
Thank
us.
Thank you.
And to be with us this evening. So praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for Anne. I'm sorry. Thank you, Lord,
That's
for
okay.
Sylvia. That was the last thing that came off my tongue. Thank you, Lord, for Sylvia, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, we just lift her up, Lord, to your kingdom, Lord, and to your awareness. Let me just see something. Okay, so awareness, like you have the awareness of God, which is knowledge or perception of a situation or fact, concern about well-informed interest of a particular situation or development. So I see the Lord has an awareness. The awareness of the Lord is upon you. And again, awareness means a knowledge or perception of a situation or fact, well-informed interest in a particular situation or development. So whatever's going on in your life, the awareness of the Lord is upon that. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord. I pray that you just surround her mind, Lord, with your light, Lord, with your truth. The light of your truth, Lord, to protect, even be not necessarily like an arrow, but like a circular thing, protecting your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Protecting your mind. I mean, not like a halo, but kind of like a halo, except it's not above your head there. It's actually circling your head, you know. Going
uh-huh.
around your head, but it's this light. It's like a beam of light that's circling your head. So it's not above. It's literally circling your head, and it's the light of truth. And but I see that too as it protecting you, And so, I mean, the Lord is going to protect us and when we call him, but certainly when the Lord has something in our lives that is gifted of him and ordained of him, he puts a special preservation upon that. Like when it's part of our calling, part of our anointing, part of our gifting, he puts a special, a special protection of preservation. You know, it feels like a special protection, but he's actually preserving what it is he's gifted us with because it's the thing that's going to also bring him the most glory.
Man.
Yeah. So then he protects it. He really guards it and protects it. So I see that element there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your daughter, Lord. In Jesus' name. And I also see now, you know, I see a type of identification with the Lord with you, you know, where they put a crown of thorns upon his head. And it was the kind of, I see that identification with you, with the Lord. And, but I know you've shared a little bit in word before. So I will say that just to be fair, but I've never seen the identification part before where the Lord, even in the midst of him, which I even found interesting tonight as well, is just even in the midst of him to the depths of his obedience that brought about sacrifice, right? I mean, there was a sacrifice. Right, but he stepped forth in obedience that required a sacrifice. But even in the midst of that, that the people would jeer and mock and, you know, put this, you know, make this crown of thorns something other than really what it was intended for. I see that type of identification. I see that type of identification with the Lord with you. So, like, when I come to understand how the Lord identifies with me, it actually helps me, because I think, okay, somebody understands. Like, to a depth,
I do.
To a depth, I wouldn't even be able to, like, articulate, you know, and explain, you know, but, yeah.
So it's the identification of the thorns that was around his head. Yes. What you're seeing, the awareness as far as identification, Sunday night he released the dunamis power for me to walk out into my ministry on Sunday night. And so, yeah, so the ministry, and what happened is someone in the church was holding it back, and he said no more. And I was sort of being ostracized and stuff because of the anointing and sort of set in the corner. And we talked about that before, so that I think that's the identification, yes. But he says no more because his ministry is going forth. So he released dunamis power. And as of Sunday night, he says that I'm walking, actually beginning ministry.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. And I was just to clarify, too, and you're right, the identification part was that was that Jesus was walking in obedience, even though it caused him a sacrifice, but people misunderstood it for something else. And that's the part where I think, Sylvia, I just feel like to encourage you or ask you just to even just release a prayer here. Or a type of, if you have something on your heart, or something stirring, something fresh, you know, just to release. I just invite you to do that if you'd like to.
Yes. Lord Father, we thank you tonight for all the listeners on the line, Father God. Father God, tonight I ask that you lift each and every one of them up in the name of Jesus. Lord Father, I go into the spirit realm, Father, tonight. And, Lord, I bind the enemy from touching every one of your children that is down in their spirit tonight, Father God. I ask that you go in, Father, and I ask that you release joy, Father, your joy upon everyone on this line in the name of Jesus, Father. And, Lord, Father, I ask you to help them to walk into the calling that you have called them into, Father, that there will be no hindrance in their life, Father. Anything that would stop them from walking into that calling, I bind it up right now in the name of Jesus, Father. And I ask that you clear that path, Father, that they may walk into it, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Thank you. That was wonderful. I received that. And I receive it on behalf of all the saints listening tonight and at a later time. So God bless you. Thank you. It's powerful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
okay,
you
look
for
forward
praying.
To hearing more, too. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, my pleasure. Privilege.
Okay.
All right. Take care. Bye. Okay. That's awesome. Oh, okay. My computer jumps sometimes. Okay, so let's see where I am. Here on my phone line, I am on caller 205-531. Good evening. Who am I speaking to?
Julia May from Alabama.
Hey, Julia May. How are you?
Just fine.
Good. Okay. Okay, let's pray. Thank you, Lord,
For Julia May, Father, we thank you, Lord, and bless her in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord. Okay, I'm seeing a honey, and I don't know if it's a type of like let me just see if I do this. Okay, so I'm seeing honey, and I'm thinking of. Okay, let me just pray into this first before I move on. Before I search what it is that's on my mind right now. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this place and that you're bringing her to God and this honey. And I just sense it is a type of anointing. It is by faith to be received from heaven. And, it's an anointing that's being released and you're going to receive it by faith. Your faith didn't call down the anointing. It was his plan. And then you're receiving it by faith. So I thank you for that, God. And in Jesus' name, let me look. And okay. I think sometimes, I have kind of a small little spot here, a little cove, if you will. But this book was arm length away. So let me see if I can find the word honey in here. Okay, honey in here, it says, reception of divine, the sweet word of God, anointing, Holy Spirit, strength, wisdom, pleasant, naturally sweet words, healing, valued gift, abundance. Promised land. Okay. There's something. Now, let me look here. I think I have a few minutes. I have two more callers, so stay with us. 323 and 951. Stay with us. I have two more callers. I'm going to, and I'm going to see if I can do this as quickly as I can, but it's not, I can't shake this from my mind. On a particular email, I think it would have been here. And let me just open this up because I know I would have saved it like under a particular file, but it was a word that came forth. My gosh, I even have it labeled Word of the Lord, honey. That's still there. Well, I would have thought it was in something else. Oh, I thought it was gone for a second. I opened it and it was like completely blank. And I thought, oh my goodness. But now here it is. Okay, so let me see. Let me just read some headings on this part. Okay, and some verses if you can go back and read if you want. So Judges 14:7-9. Okay, hold on. That was, here it is. Okay. Here it is. Okay, never mind about the judges. Never mind about that or the Samson part. Here's the note that says this. Sometimes in scripture, honey can represent a pure prophetic or the revelation of Jesus Christ. So that was the other thing, is there may be a revelation, because there's another part of this that talks about Christ coming to the Jews in the last days to offer them a revelation of Christ. So, this anointing
that's coming to you may be for you to offer to people the revelation of Christ. And I know that you do it in your household, and the Lord has done it even through your and what he's done and through Jennifer, that you bring this revelation of Christ to other people. And through that, you know, it says, so then it says, and when the, when it comes to the word of the Lord, okay, so Deborah in Judges 4 is recorded as being both a judge and a prophetess. Her name in Hebrew means honeybee. Okay, so let me see if this is eyes. Okay, so your eyes were enlightened. Paul in Ephesians 1:17, Paul prayed for the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened according to the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Christ. And that's also a very similar prayer and understanding in Colossians 1:9. The eyes, we just talked about that in church, the eyes being enlightened refers to the eyes of our understanding and the eyes of our heart and our spirit man being activated to discern what the Lord is saying and doing in the spirit. So even John the Baptist was one of the, okay, so yeah, and he ate wild honey. So yeah, so I do really sense strongly a sense of a revelation of Jesus Christ, but at a gifting and anointing, and in that, because when Christ comes, even revelation, there is a prophetic nature to that well, which is, or to that as well. And there is also a, when Jesus does it and we invite him, which we all need to do this. This is even reminding me even right now, just to invite Jesus to speak to us in his words, speak to us, you know, this revelation, speak to us in understanding, speak to us in your spiritual wisdom, Lord, you know, speak to us. There's definitely a purity to that. And there is a purity in honey as well. And it carries properties. Even it does carry healing properties as well to other people, you know. So, I mean, not to other people, but to those who consume it, you know, there can be healing properties even in honey. So bless you with that. Yeah. So praise the Lord. Do you have anything you'd like to share with us this evening?
This year, Jumper has the theme too in her treatment a week ago today. God bless it and took both of them out when she released from home health care.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Even released from the home health care? Wow.
Yeah.
That's outstanding.
He said she done came a mile long. He said, I first saw her. He said she was a sick child. He said she done came a mile long fast.
Yeah, that is fantastic. That's amazing. Very encouraging, and I'm just awestruck at what the Lord has done. So praise God. You should let her know that we all love her, and we love you, Julia May. And that we pray for her, and you know, the Lord is with her. Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. Always encouraging to hear you. Thank you for joining us. Okay.
Okay.
We'll talk to you later. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye. You know, the Lord's good because he's just so outstanding in all of his ways. And we, you know, even the most unassuming, you know, the Lord just so miraculous in how he works, you know. And it even says that Jesus himself was a man, you know, it talks about him being a man that there's nothing that, like, the world would have been attracted to him in any way, like, and I don't mean just physical looks, that's what I'm talking about, although I think it includes that, but, like, you know, he didn't have this super sharp suit on, you know, or jewelry or shiny spiffy shoes, you know, drive a particular car, any status type of things that the world would, you know, relate or rate us on and label, you know. And, you know, sometimes I think if he was in a crowd, I think, Lord, if you would have walked by in a crowd, would I have missed you? Would I have known, you know, because John the Baptist said in the crowd, behold, he's seen. And that was the spirit of the God within him, recognizing the spirit with him. He said, behold, the Lamb of God. You know, and I think to myself sometimes, Lord, would I have recognized you, even with you saying that in your word? Because I would hate to think that I wouldn't recognize you, you know. And who am I missing? Who am I missing in this world that needs you, you know, that needs to be seen, and ministered to? And sometimes I will say this too, is that sometimes the Lord will give me someone that needs to be ministered to, and like a stranger or a person. We keep crossing paths. There's someone in the apartment complex here. Just pray for that conversation. And my heart will have this, like, a lot of compassion for that person. Like, I feel like I need to protect them in some way. It's very mothery. Like, I feel like it's very mothery, and it's almost hard for me to even talk because I feel like I don't want to freak the person out because I'm feeling this, like, abundance of compassion and protection over them. Like, there's something I want to protect, and I don't know if it's the Lord wanted me to pray for their soul, to protect their soul until they come to Jesus. But okay, so just pray for me in that I would know how to communicate out of that. But I am actually experiencing that currently. Okay, so I think we're here, right? Is it 312-527-572? I'm sorry, I get a little dyslexic when it gets later. Am I speaking to you? Where are you calling from?
this is Frida. I'm calling from Los Angeles.
Frida. Okay, well, good to have you. I don't know if we spoke before.
We did speak a few weeks ago.
Oh, okay. Well, good to have you back. Thank you for joining us, and my apologies. So, Father, we just thank you for Frida, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for the declaration of the Lord upon her life, God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And you know what? Let me see if you can do this on, let's see. Okay, so if I just put in the word declare, like on Bible Gateway, 135 verses come up. You have to go probably to the New Testament because some of the, like, Moses declared certain things. But the things the Lord, like, declaring, the things that the Lord is declaring, he's declaring things over you. And there's something in that, even what the word declare means. Let me just get... Okay, acknowledge possession. So I think, okay, they would have to go to scripture and that. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord, that the things that you're declaring over your daughter, God, that they would come to pass, Lord, for your spoken word, Lord, and your rhema word, Lord, Father, Lord, are sent forth. God, your words are sent forth to bring healing. Your words are sent forth to shine light, Lord, to bring deliverance, God, to bring salvation, God, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for your words that you're sending forth over your daughter, Lord, the declarations, God, of freedom, the declarations of liberty, Father God, that they are designed for her, God. They're designed, he has designed freedom for you. He's designed liberty for you. And I thank you, Father, we just release that, Lord, to light her way and to light her path, Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, that you, as you send your word forth, Lord, that it would accomplish that in which you've sent it, God, in Jesus' name, Lord, and not return void, but would accomplish that in which you sent it. in the name of Jesus. I don't know if you have like a book or something that you could even on declaring, like proclaiming and declaring, that you can begin praying some of these things, or maybe even Googling, what are the proclamations of the Lord? What are the declarations of the Lord? And see what verses and those things that come up, and just begin praying that. Let me just see if I can find it. Okay. Like if that doesn't, I'm typing with one hand. Seven declarations of God's blessing to speak over your life. Okay, so I just typed in Google, what are the declarations of the Lord? Yeah, so you can look that up. There's more there. It says 75 declarations, 57 declarations, 31 declarations, 100. So you can start three amazing ones. So anyways, I would just encourage you to do that and begin speaking, coming to agreement with what the Lord is speaking over you. And even ask him, you know, if you pull up 30 of them or whatever, and which ones seem to be, you know, where your spirit is quickened, you know, or seem to be illuminating, and speaking to your spirit. And then I would just highlight those and stay there, and make those declarations. And it's not by the power, it's not by our own willpower, but it's coming to agreement with what he's speaking, and what he's saying over your life right now, you know. And part of that is going to be through, as I brought forth, freedom and liberty. And we know freedom and liberty comes, you know, when we love, and when we allow ourselves to be loved, and we freely love Christ in return, right? It breaks off everything else, and it gives us a lot of freedom. But out of our love, it even says, you know, that Christ demonstrated his love for us. He demonstrated his love for us by obedience on the cross. And out of our same love and expression for him, we demonstrate our love to him by keeping his commandments. The word like literally says that. So our yoke is easy and our burden is light when we're doing it out of love. And I think there's a place in which he's going to bring you, you know, and declaring and proclaiming that this liberty and this freedom. Now I'm remembering the word that I prayed over you was even too. It's designed for you. So there's something uniquely designed in it for you, where he's designed your liberty and he's designed your freedom. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if that comes out of love, our expression for love and keeping his commandments and expressing ourselves that way, there's something in that design that is uniquely who you are, is how you're going to express your love to him. You know, sometimes when a word comes forth, well, always like a prophetic word, for what I've come to learn thus far is that we come into agreement with the word of the Lord that he sends forth, because it's by his spirit. So the Holy Spirit speaks. And sometimes when he sends forth his word, like this particular word for you, there's also, you know, not only do we come into agreement with it, but then there's a little bit of an action that needs to be taken with it for the agreement over the word. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. And sometimes that unlocks some things. You know, there was one time I was doing talking or sharing about prophetic words that have come forth over our children with another mom, with a handful of other ladies. And because that is the Rhema word spoken over our children, that we could pray that. It's okay to release that and pray that before the Lord, like, hey, Lord, you know, you're not a man that you should lie. And you know, and hold him to the integrity of his word that he spoke this and that, and to begin to pray that over our children, just as much as we pray the written word and things and the promises that he's given us over our children. And so one mom really got a real release from that, to pray these, and she didn't even really share all the prophetic words. She just shared there were some powerful things that were spoken over her son. And literally it was within just a handful of months, he had a turnaround over his life.
Mm-hmm.
So again, that's just an expression of when we come into agreement with the prophetic word. And what is the word saying? Is the word asking us to do something? Are we to say yes to something, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. So praise the Lord. Because you will bear the fruit. You will bear the fruit. It will directly be in your basket.
Yeah.
You know, but that's what he wants. He says to go and you will bear much fruit, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. So praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I had called, maybe it was a month, called in the particular time I had called in. It was for healing. And it was for uterine fibroids.
Oh, okay. And I think I remember that.
Yes. And you had spoke to me about that, and that was a question that you had asked me if I left a church, if I was like a member of a church and left and went to another church, and it didn't come to me at that time. It took some while of thinking about what exactly that meant, because I hadn't been a member of a church since I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And so it came to me when you had asked me, did I leave one church and go to another, when the issue with the fibroids had begun, and that it reminded me when I was 14 and I had promised God that I would give my life to him if he removed me and my brother from my mother.
Mm.
And God answered my prayer on my 15th birthday. They came and removed me and my brother from the care of my mother.
Wow.
And I was thinking, I was like, I should probably call back in, because that is what you were meaning when you were saying, did I leave a church and then go to another one when the issues started happening? And I wasn't aware at that time, but it came to me that was probably what you were meaning. So I promised God something, and I didn't fulfill.
Oh,
and
I see.
He answered my prayer, and I did not keep my promise that I had gave to God.
Mm-hmm. How are you doing now with those fibroids?
The days are better. I still have some moments, but the days are a lot better.
Okay, yeah. Sometimes it can be a spiritual attack. That's what I was thinking, I think, when I asked you if it was some type of spiritual attack. And I don't know if, you know, it could be something maybe that your mother spoke. I'm not sure, you know, because, you know, there definitely is a soul tie there, and it's a deep soul tie, just like it would be like with a church. There's spiritual soul ties, if you will, with a church. So, and so sometimes they can speak some things or have wrong intentions, even in the spirit, and say things that can afflict us spiritually, you know, and that may have, I mean, I don't know if that, you know, it's something that happened with your mother or not, but that is what, I mean, that's just to explain a little bit further why I inquired about that. So, but yes, the Lord wants you to take action to, you know, to come into agreement with his words. So there is, like I said, just go ahead and Google, like, what are, my sentence was, what are the declarations of the Lord? And begin with these declarations or proclamations, if you see even proclamations, and begin decreeing them and proclaiming them over your life, because there is a freedom and a liberty coming. And I didn't remember, I remember now that you mention it, praying for you and specifically about those items, but I didn't when I opened up the phone line and prayed for you. I was not recalling that. So so for the, you know, by your design, there's the design for you, and it sounds like it's even started and begun, is you know, of this freedom because of what you've asked him. You know, that was by your design. You know, it was designed for you, and this liberty that's coming. You know, but it doesn't. We come into agreement with it, and we do it by faith. The obedience of our faith takes action. That says, I love you so much, Lord. I love you so much. I'm going to be obedient. Even if I look foolish, I sound foolish, even if I'm by myself and I feel foolish, you know, I'm going to, out of the obedience of my faith, I'm going to offer this to you. In Jesus' name. So, yeah.
Well, amen. Thank you for that.
Amen. Thank you for calling and sharing, too. That was very powerful. You can have a very powerful testimony and praise to the Lord. So just keep taking steps of faith. And, again, just, you know, even just asking him, teach me, you know, teach me to pray. Teach me to walk obediently. And, yeah.
Well, amen. God bless you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Take care. Wow, okay. We have two more callers, so 951-966. Good evening. How am I speaking to you? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Regina from California. How are you?
Hey, Regina. Good. How are you? Good
I'm
to
good.
Hear your voice. Yeah, I'm glad we're connected. I just realized what time it was, so I have a few minutes here, and I have one more caller. 8 for 7. So thank you, Lord, for Regina, Father. We just bless her in the name of the Lord. I thank you, Lord. I'm seeing a lot of light around you, even sunshine, a lot of light and a lot of sunshine. And, you know, when the light comes, it really casts away any variations of shadows and dimness and darkness of any kind. And there's that scripture that talks about your light shining upon you like the fullness of the noonday. And so I'm kind of seeing that, you know, this light shining upon you as the fullness of the noonday, which is a beautiful thing. That means there's no casting shadows of various kinds in any way upon your light, I mean, upon your life. So we thank you, Lord. And then the trueness, like your heart knows the trueness and the direction in which it's headed. Yeah, that's fullness, the fullness of the light is upon that. I thank you, Lord, for it in Jesus' name. And it's certainly not anything sustaining. It's sustaining as if, you know, if you think of the perfect day with the perfect weather, the perfect sunshine, but very bright and very, you know, you could feel the sunshine, but it's not something that is like sun scorched or it's just like the perfect, it's sustaining. It's a type of light that is sustaining. So I thank you for it, Lord. And it also is like there's a circumference around it as well where other people can almost walk into it when they're near you. It's like the circumference of it. There's a radius and circumference which they would be aware of it when they walk near you in your life. So praise the Lord for that. And I'm sorry, I do need to run. I just had a drop-down box come down. So Bless you. It's good to hear your voice. Thank you for calling. Yeah. God bless you. Thank you. Hey, I'm just going to take caller 847-239. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Stephanie from Illinois.
That's Stephanie from Illinois. Thank you for calling. I'm going to put you on mute, and I need to end. So thank you for calling. I'm glad to call here. And I remember praying for you this week, too. So God bless you, Lord. Thank you for Stephanie, Lord. We thank you for growing her, God, and planting her. You know, the word of the Lord says in Psalm I don't remember what psalm it is, but those that plant themselves in the house of the Lord shall flourish. And so I thank you, Lord, that you bring forth a life that is flourishing to her, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord. And I thank you. I don't know if you're connected with the body of Christ, you know, whether it's in person, preferably for other people, or online, you know, where it's specific that you're planted there online. But again, the word of the Lord says, those that plant themselves in the house of the Lord shall flourish and come forth with, you know, be flourishing, have a flourishing life. So, Lord, we just pray that over her, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for your word that has come forth, Lord, that you would, again, accomplish that which you purposed and set it forth, Lord, and not return void, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, just for the places that the Lord's taking you, you know, would be invigorating and exhilarating, you know, like when there's newness and, you know, and like when you jump in a new car and you take a ride, it's just like all the different functions on it, how it's riding, you know, like, and then you notice, you know, where you came from and what you were riding in, like, oh, it's so quiet. Oh my gosh, these tires, these, you know, just all that, it's exhilarating and invigorating. And I just see the word taking you to places like that as well. So bless you, everyone. Thank you again for joining us. And I wish I had more time, but for this evening, shalom to you all, and God bless you.